If you would turn in your Bibles tonight to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he didn't put all those titles by his name. To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, my brethren, who's he talking to? The church, right? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. A lot of times we don't know what's happening, and it would be nice to have that alarm go off, the beep, this is only a test. But we usually don't know it until we're about halfway or farther into it, and we're like, what is going on? Oh. How many know that God's got you in the palm of His hand? Isn't that what Jesus said? He knows all about you. He knows all about what you're going through. He knows the very hairs on your head. Even the sparrow doesn't fall to the ground apart from your Father's knowing it. So He knows all about it. But it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces. It produces something. Testing of your faith. Really what that word means is experiment. To experiment. Faith is not a passive word. It means that you need to do something to activate your faith. You need to experiment with your faith. And so God allows trials in our lives so that we have opportunity, are you hearing it? To experiment with our faith. Because your faith is never based upon experience, but it must produce experience. If you want to experience the power of God, for example, you're going to have to experiment with it. Knowing that the experimenting with your faith produces patience. When you come under trials, under difficulties, there's an opportunity for you to see the hand of God work in your life. We don't always look at it that way at the time. But folks, that's the thinking that we need to adopt, amen? And we need to say, I'm going to believe like God. I'm going to think like God. God is with me. God is for me. God has a plan. God has a purpose in my test, in my uncertainty right now. I know that my God is still with me. I may not hear Him. I may not feel Him right now. I may not be able to make sense of what's going on right now. But this is an opportunity now for me to experiment with my faith, to practice your faith. Faith has to be activated by experimenting with it. There's not one example in Scripture of those who operated in faith where they were passive in their walk, where they waited around for something to happen. Even when God promised Abraham a seed, how many know that they still had to experiment? We won't go any further into that, but I think you got what I'm saying here. Every case, as Elisha picked up the mantle of Elijah, and he struck the water, he had to do what? He tested it out. We see our faith has to be tested out. We believe that we have wings. We believe that we can fly. We believe that we can soar with Jesus. And we believe that, yes, with God all things are possible. But do we believe to the degree that we're going to do something to validate that belief? In other words, unless we take the step or the action required, it's not going to happen. There are people who, you know, in some cases God supernaturally provides. you know. When you're at the end of everything you know to do, you don't know what else to do. Say, God, help. We need help. Maybe it's a financial problem you're going through right now. But we pray and we call on God and we wait on God. But most times, God's going to give you an instruction. He's going to give you something to do. He's going to say, call this number. Contact this person. Do this. Go down to such and such an office. Hello. Apply. In Ecclesiastes 11, where it talks about casting your bread upon the water. You know, after many days it will come back. It's talking about sowing. It's talking about giving. It's talking about being faithful. Even in the times of the cloud, you know. If we're observing the clouds, we're not going to go out and we're not going to sow. If we observe the wind, right, we're not going to reap. We don't look at the way things appear. We don't live by sight. We live by faith. God says, I'm going to take care of you. But here's an instruction. Do you believe me to the degree that you will take the step so that I can confirm my word in you? It requires action on our part. When we pray for someone, we pray for the sick. If you've never prayed for the sick before, the Bible says that these signs shall follow them in Mark 16. Amen? Who believe? What do we need to do? Start practicing it. Start experimenting with this thing that God told us to do. It's called the Great Commission. He said, preach the gospel. Well, we can be like Moses. I'm not eloquent of speech. I have a stammering tongue. Or, you know, don't say that. Who made man's mouth, right? It's not about what we can do naturally. What God calls us to do is bigger than we are. Much bigger. Therefore, it's going to require you and I believing God for the miraculous. When the miraculous happens, then the carnal arguments go out the window. Amen? There's nothing to argue about anymore. God showed up. God manifested His power and His presence. The argument's over. Unless somebody's of a reprobate mind, and it doesn't matter even if one raised from the dead, they're not going to believe. But many believed on Jesus when they saw the signs. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He practiced, experimented. He put feet to His faith. He didn't just talk about faith, learn about faith, quote faith scriptures. He went about and He did it. He did the work. You'll never know what God wants to do through your life until you start stepping out and experimenting. God says to speak to people the good news. Share the good news. Well, that's scary. It's probably bigger than what maybe you can do naturally. Maybe you're a little bit shy around people. God didn't ask you to do something that He wasn't going to supply the power for you to do. But He requires that you and I obey, and obedience requires a step of action. When we act, then the power comes. Then the glory of God is revealed through us. If we are passive, and if we sit around and we pray and pray and pray and pray, well, this is a time to pray. Would you agree?
Oh, yes.
But it's not always appropriate to pray. Sometimes we're asking God to do something that He told us to do by faith. Sometimes we're asking God to get rid of the giant. He says, you get rid of the giant. I've given you authority in my name to topple the giant. So we sit in the camp and we say, God, get rid of the giant. And the more that you pray, God, get rid of the giant, the bigger the giant gets. And the scarier he gets sometimes. Until you wake up and say, wait a minute. The Bible says that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. God's not asking us, okay, to ask him to do what he already said he's going to do as we simply obey him and step out in faith. We step out and we begin to do what he told us to do. We begin to speak to people. We begin to share the love of Jesus. We begin to pray for the sick. Amen? As we are activated in our faith, then God confirms, you see, what we spoke. When we speak the word of God, God confirms his word with signs, accompanying signs. What are signs for? Signs point to something. They point to Jesus, not to us. But we point to Jesus, amen, and say, he's alive. He's real. And he's powerful, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So, count it all joy, brethren. When you are up against something that is bigger than you, that is impossible, humanly speaking, because there's an opportunity to see God work it out. How many times have we already gone through things that at the time we thought were just impossible? I'll never get through this. How will I ever get through this? And we fret and we pull our hair out, and that's why I'm missing so much right now. Until the day we come and say, you know what? God didn't call me to stress. He called me to rest. He's saying, just hold on here. Just relax. Kick back in my arms and just let go. I've got it all together here. It's going to be all right. It's when we get in panic mode that we start making mistakes. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Break out the plastic. You know, we start making mistakes. We make emotional decisions. We need to operate out of that place of rest in him. And then we're thinking because we're being still in his presence. And we're waiting on God. I can remember losing something one time, and it was an important something, a document or something, and I was scrambling to find it, and I just could not find it anywhere. And I finally went back to my room, and I just laid on the bed, and I just like, oh, man. I just began to say, you know, I think I'll just take a nap here. So I'm just I started to relax a little bit finally, you know. I said, God, where is that? And all of a sudden, boom, you know, check this 3-ring binder on that shelf. Yeah. Sandwiched into a 3-ring binder on the shelf. I pull it out and there it is. Now, that had to be God. I wouldn't have had a clue where it was. But it wasn't until I had settled into the place of rest and got out of the stress mode that now I was able to think straight and hear his voice. And then when I begin to operate, it's the same thing in ministry. We can get into the performance driven, you know, make it happen mode in ministry and totally miss God. And God is saying, hey, did you forget somebody here? You know, you're out there doing stuff for God, but you're not walking with him. It's not about doing for God. It's about you and I walking with God in fellowship. And ministry is a result of a relationship. It's not stuff that we got to do for God because he told me to do it. It's like, I get to do this with Jesus. We're walking this out together. We're doing this together. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. He's upon us. So wherever we go, we're carriers of his glory, of his presence, and we are to make known to the people that the kingdom of heaven is among you. It's at hand. We are declaring this message of the kingdom into all the earth for a witness. We are his witnesses. We've received the anointing. We're witnesses for Christ, and then the end shall come. So we count it joy, because when we experience difficulties in life, there's a purpose for that. I was talking to a sister earlier today who was struggling in her, you know, with something right now, but you'd never know that she was struggling because really she wasn't struggling. She was kind of just like, no big deal. You know, you get around people that are kind of like they've just been seasoned and settled in the Lord. They've got an inner strength and character, you know. And whereas sometimes the younger Christians are like, oh, what am I going to do? And they're just, oh, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. And they mean it. And that's how they live their life. They've gotten into a place of rest now. And I have found that often when we need an answer to prayer, it's not going to come until we settle down into rest. And so many times it's when we get to the place where we say, God, I just give up. He says, I was waiting for you to do that because you were trying to carry it. You were trying to make happen something that I said is just going to happen. But you got to wait on me, wait on my time. How many have ever done that? You've just come to a place, you said, okay, I give up, I'm done. Stressing, striving, working at it. And then you finally let go. And voila, then all of a sudden the prayer's answered. All of a sudden you're hearing God clearly. And he gives you instruction or something happens then. But he was trying to teach you. He said, see, I was trying to tell you something. I want you to trust me. That's faith. Trusting God. It's bigger than we are, but God is bigger than the problem. So you put your back to the problem and you put your eyes on the solution. That's Jesus. And he'll give you an instruction. Most times he'll tell you to do something. It's like the guy that's... Now I'm not picking on anybody here if you're in between jobs right now, but it's like I'm just using it as an example. The guy who's looking for a job and, you know... Well, the Lord opens a door for him, but it's not the job that he wants at the pay scale that he wants. You know what? Sometimes you got to step down to step up. Sometimes the answer is not in what you think is the answer. Sometimes he may tell you to work for McDonald's for a while. Why? Because there might be an assignment there at McDonald's where you're going to be the salt and the light, and there's going to be a soul there that needs to hear the gospel. And then when you prove to be faithful in the little thing that he gave you at first, then he says, you've done well, son. I'm going to promote you, and I'm going to open a better door for you. But you do something. You take, amen, what God gives you at the time. And that's why there's a lot of people, I believe a lot of people, that they're unemployed for a long time because they're waiting for the golden opportunity where God has already given them something that they can do. And because it's just too easy to receive welfare sometimes or the support. And there's times when you need that. There's nothing sinful about that if you need it. But it's not supposed to be an income, hello? A steady income. It's just a safety net. As a matter of fact, it's killing our country because there's just too many that are expecting the government to be their paycheck rather than at times to help their citizens out. Amen. Instead, it's a thing of control now because now everybody's depending on us. And we don't take initiative. We've robbed a lot of our people of any value, self-value or worth. And they just feel I'm not worth anything anyway. I can remember just in my own life where I couldn't see past the tip of my nose for so many years. You know, everything was out of reach. Everything was beyond me. Everything was too big for me. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. And the devil had been lying to me. He had been robbing me. And God is saying, all you got to do is step in the direction that I point you. And as you step in the direction that I point you, I'm going to remove those stones that are in your way. But if you do not step in the direction that I point you, those stones are going to continue to stay there and they're going to mock you. And one day you're going to look back and say, well, I should have, I could have, I would have, but I didn't. You don't want to have to say that at the end of the road, amen? You want to be able to say, like with Paul, I've kept the faith, I fought the good fight, amen? I was pressing on towards the mark. I didn't just, you know, hang out in the shadows drinking iced tea and lemonade. Amen? And hoping to win the prize and hoping to reach the finish line. You don't reach it that way being passive. Faith needs to be activated. Faith is something that is experimented with. Okay. Well, Lord, I don't know what else to do. I don't know where else to turn. So here goes. Settle down. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? You may have to wait a little while. Pray a little while. Be patient in the process. Seek the Lord. He wants to be sought. Because He's so valuable, He's worthy of being sought. So, the Lord will speak to us if we will settle down into a place of rest in the Spirit. And that's in that place. And that was the introduction of tonight's message, by the way. So, I want to talk tonight about your faith, but something, a question that most of us are asking and have asked, is what is the will of God for my life? That is one of the most important questions you can ever ask. And I'm completely convinced, even though we may not believe it sometimes, that God wants you to know what His will is for your life. Come on, He's a good father. It's not like He has a will for your life and says, "Now I ain't going to tell you." Sometimes you feel that way, don't you? Have you ever felt that way? Like God's just, you know, watching you squirm down there trying to figure it all out. Well, hopefully tonight I can give you a few practical things here to help you with that. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We'll start out with this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, hear that, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus, listen, before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. God told Jeremiah, before you were conceived, amen, before in the womb, I knew you. Right? Before you were formed in the womb. God has an eternal purpose for every human being. I believe that's true. The Bible says that's true. I believe the Word of God. God does have an eternal purpose. Before you were ever born, God had ordained, amen, a time for you to be here, an assignment, an instruction for you, a purpose, a reason for being on this planet. And it's not just to suck air, amen? Or to live from one thrill to the next. Just to go to work, you know, scrap your body, working yourself to the bone and to get that house and boat and then you die. And again, there's no U-Hauls going to heaven, right? But God has an eternal purpose for us being here. We need to do those things, amen? We need to work. We need to take care of our natural. And God will bless you naturally, amen, and physically, and in every way He can bless you in your life. He's not opposed. He's not afraid of money, amen. And he doesn't mind if you have money as long as you can handle it. How many know that God's got it all? He owns it all. The silver and the gold, He says, is mine. So God gives men the power to get wealth. So it's not just so we can have a mansion in Beverly Hills. It's so that we can, what, advance the kingdom. To those who have been given much, much is required. Some people are asking, God, I want more, give me more. But with more comes a greater responsibility to give back to God. I think that was the problem with Hezekiah, is he quit giving back to God. As God increased him, he forgot who his source was. Because often when we become prosperous, we get proud with that too. Don't you see a lot of arrogance among the rich especially? So with that comes responsibility. It's not a sin to have money. It is a sin to be greedy and to be selfish and to be disobedient with what God entrusts to you. First thing we need to know, folks, is that God's purpose revealed to you is your call. What is my purpose? Can I just give you a simple answer to that? You are an ambassador for Christ. That is your first call. Every one of us is an ambassador. We are to represent the kingdom government of heaven on the earth. That is the primary call for the Church of Jesus Christ on the earth. Every one of us are to be co-laborers together with Christ in His ministry on the earth to see that this message of the kingdom goes to all nations. Amen? And that we make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything that the Lord had imparted into His disciples. That means we are also to go in the same authority. An apostle simply is a sent one, folks. When you go, in a sense, you're being an apostle. You're being sent out. There is the office of the apostle, but all of us are, if you will, we are messengers. We are angels in the sense that we are given assignments to take the message of the gospel into the world. So what is the will of God for me? To be an ambassador. To represent Him to people on the earth. As a royal priest. We are a priesthood. It's not for the pastor only, amen? It's every believer is a priest. Do you know who you are? Do you know what you're capable of in the Lord? Do you know the authority that you possess? Do you know the power that's within you by the Holy Spirit? You're not going to know that unless there's experiment with that. You're starting to activate that by action, by working it out. We want the big thing, and God says, well, we haven't done anything with the little thing yet. Isn't it true? Be faithful in little. John 14:26, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatever I had said to you, He's going to remind you of those things. When you hear the Word, when you read the Word, when the Spirit of God, amen, is speaking to you, those things that were put on the hard drive of your heart, when you need that, the Holy Spirit is the one that will bring it to the screen of your understanding. And when you need to speak a word, and a word is needed in a situation that you're confronted with, say, Lord, please give me a word. Lord, give me what I need to say or what I need to do. Relax. Don't stress. Rest. Relax. Find your peace in God. And just listen for His voice. God's not stressed out. And God's not in a hurry, folks. We get impatient. We get in a hurry. Your first call is to understand the will of God. And that is that you are an ambassador. Jesus said in John 15:26, but the Comforter, when He has come, whom I send unto you from my Father, even the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me. So what are we supposed to do? Testify of Jesus. What is my purpose? To testify of Jesus. Amen? What is my purpose? To represent Him as an ambassador on the earth. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him or please God. Faith is not passive. Faith is active. Faith is something that must be applied. When God instructed Moses to tell the people to put the blood upon the doorpost, amen, and the lintel, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the death angel came. They had to take hyssop and dip it in the blood, and they had to apply the blood. And I believe the hyssop can be representative of faith. By faith, you apply the blood, amen, in your situation. And so, action is absolutely essential. It's necessary. And that's the cool thing. That's the exciting thing about this walk in the Spirit, is that I have found that God is never boring. That true Christianity is awesome. A life of power in the Spirit is awesome. What an opportunity and a privilege we have to represent the supernatural, eternal God on the earth realm, who's given us of His Holy Spirit. He's given us an unction, an anointing, so that we can effect change in our world. Ooh. Folks, we need to understand we are world changers. There's a world changer in you. God would have you to change your world. We should never allow our circumstances and the pressures that people may try to put on you to dictate who we are. Because we have a source that is eternal, that is all-powerful, that is abiding in us, that we can tap into, a greater power than every demon and every force of wickedness, amen, in high places. God is greater in us than all that the devil may try to throw at you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Knowing who you are through faithfulness, folks. Through faithfulness, that means just daily walking this thing out, daily acknowledging God, daily praying, daily calling on God and saying, God, show me. Grant us or give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need today, Lord. Give me my assignment. Give me the grace and my provision for this day, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. And when we do that, God is faithful to His children to provide everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. All we need is in Him. Jesus said in John 14:21, He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will reveal or manifest myself to him. Who are those who love God? Those who love God are the ones who say, yes, I'm going to do what you say. How many know that His commandment is love? So when we walk in His commandment, we're walking in His love. When you're walking in His love, you're pleasing to the Lord, because you're walking with Him. Thirdly, our minds, this is where the battlefield is, need to be renewed, so that we can discern the will of God for our lives. There's so much junk, come on, that we brought into our minds, I know I have, that can cause so much confusion. And listen, young people, you're young. If you had the opportunity and the privilege to hear the gospel, if you're a Christian, you've received Jesus, you know, protect your mind by all means. Don't watch filth. Don't watch junk. Don't listen to junk music. Don't listen to stuff that's going to cloud your mind and pollute your mind so that you cannot think straight. You cannot think clearly. Because when our minds are confused with all the wrong messages that we can allow in, then we're trying to navigate through all the junk. And so the Word of God is what we need to do to wash our minds. It's the Word of God that begins to change the way that we think. Amen? And we begin to think God's thoughts. As we meditate and dwell on God's thoughts, they become our thoughts. And then you know when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, often He will drop a scripture right when you need it. And then you speak that word, and it's not just a dead letter. It is a living word. Because we have the privilege of preaching the gospel by the Holy Spirit who sent down from heaven. Not just for the preacher, but for all of us, because all of us are representatives of that kingdom government. And God wants to work miracles, signs, and wonders through His people. But God's also going to take you through humility so that you can be entrusted with that. But it begins, folks, with you and I being faithful in the little assignment that God gives us on a daily basis. And being renewed in our minds so that we begin to discern, okay, how did I know my purpose? Well, the Word of God reveals to me by the Holy Spirit that I am actually an ambassador. If people ask you what you do, tell them I'm an ambassador. It can be a good open door. And you're not lying. Tell them I'm an ambassador, first of all. Where's your citizenship? Heaven. Yeah. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm an ambassador sent from the Lord. Well, what is your message? I'm glad you asked. Romans 12:2, we all know this. Be not conformed. Don't fashion yourself according to this world, but what be transformed, metamorphosis, like a butterfly and a frog, right? A caterpillar becomes a beautiful butterfly, and a tadpole becomes a frog, right? Well, hopefully we don't have any frogs in here, but transformation. See, this is the thing. If you're just trying to patch up the old life, it don't work. God transforms, metamorphosis. There's a transformation that's taking place through the renewing of the mind through the Word of God. What God is trying to do, I want you to hear this, is He's trying to reveal to us who we are in Christ. When you receive Jesus, you receive a new nature. But then the problem is the mind is not sanctified. The mind is full of garbage. So God wants to cleanse the mind through the Word, the washing of the Word. And the Word reveals to us our true identity. And when a person begins to know who they really are, not what society tells them they're supposed to be, not what the television tells you you're supposed to be. Not what your friends tell you you're supposed to be. But who God says you are. When you begin to know who you are, then you will be a steadfast, solid individual who's not going to be shaken by every wind that blows through. Because you're on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. You are a person that is grounded in the Word of God. Amen? Who is Christ. He is the Word. So our minds have to be transformed so that it says you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There it is. If you're not willing to have your minds renewed, there's a lot of people that don't. They don't take any effort to renew their minds. They just... they sit in front of the boob tube and they watch garbage 24/7, or listen to music 24/7 that's just garbage, feeding them garbage, and they wonder why their life is a mess, their mind's all messed up, they're just unfulfilled, they're empty. Come on, isn't it true that most of our society today is getting their philosophy for living from the boob tube? And you got every kind of weird thing out there presenting itself as a solution to all your problems. Pay thousands of dollars to go to these seminars where they tell you that you're just wonderful and you just need a little more self-esteem and feel better about yourself. Baloney! What you need to do is understand that you are a sinner and you need to repent of your sin. Call upon Jesus who will forgive your sin and give you a brand new heart. You become a brand new creation. Hallelujah. You'll be born again. Amen? And now you will begin to walk in a new identity who you are. That's the message. Hallelujah. It doesn't say esteem yourself in the Bible. As a matter of fact, true humility isn't thinking less about yourself. It's just not thinking as much about yourself. Think about that. It's not thinking less about yourself. It's just not thinking as much about yourself. When a dog is on a hunt, man, it's focused. It's on an assignment. It has a mandate. Amen. I'm going to get that thing. I'm going for the prize. He forgets all about the fleas. But when he's in the kennel... But when he's on the hunt, forget that, man. I'm on the hunt. Yeah. Some Christians are like that. You know, they just sit in the church and swat the fleas. And they've lost sight of their purpose. Yeah, we start swatting each other sometimes. Because we forget what we're here for. Let me say this also, folks. We need to know the boundaries of our call. You need to know the realm of your anointing. Romans 12:3, it says, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly. As God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now, I've heard some theology that we have all authority and all power in Christ. No? If that were the case, then we wouldn't need the body. All we'd need is you, because you'd be Jesus.
That's right.
But we are a body. And we all have a measure of grace, amen, and of faith given to us for us to operate within the realm of our anointing, within the boundaries that God has placed upon our lives, as our assignment is very unique and not like anybody else's assignment. You may be a hand, you may be a foot, you may be a nose, you may be ears, amen? You may be able to discern, I smell a rat, you know? You may have a prophetic ear, you know, operate in the word of knowledge, and you may be a prophet and you're good at speaking, or a teacher, you're good at speaking the word. Everybody has a unique assignment, but everybody's called to be an ambassador. As we work together corporately and individually, we will accomplish the mission of God on the earth. God is not a respecter of persons. When God calls, it's without repentance. In other words, when He calls you, you've got the call in your life. It's there. And you can try to do the Jonah thing, but someday, we're all going to see Jesus, aren't we? In other words, the callings are irrevocable. God called you. He gave you an assignment. It's up to you whether you're going to take up that mantle and strike the water and say, where is the God of Elijah? It's up to you whether you're going to apply what you have received, that you're going to share the bread that you've received with others. It's up to you what you do with your assignment. God won't force you. But we get to do this. We get to do this. We get to walk with Jesus. We get to see, hallelujah, heaven invade earth. We get to see the manifest presence of God come in, hallelujah, and change nations, folks. I believe that. But we have each one a measure of faith according to what God has dealt each one. But what we need to know is where the boundaries are to that. And you don't know who you are until you start to practice and apply what you've been given. How many have ever heard the term testing the water? We're testing the water. Well, often that's how we come to an understanding of who we are. I tried this. Now that didn't work. I'm going to try that. God does give you an unction. He puts in you a desire for something. And let me ask you this question, folks. This is very important. What are you most passionate about in life? Where is your passion at? God works in you as a believer. God works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Some people have a passion to help out others. Hey, let me go and work on your house. Let me fix your pipes, whatever. They have a gift of helps. That is a calling. It's not something that's trivial or non-important. How many know that everybody has to be in their place? And when a person doesn't understand the realm of their anointing and they don't stay in their place, they end up getting replaced. God has to move them out. Come on. There are times when people will rise up against someone in authority in the church because they didn't like where they're at. They wanted to be where he was. Well, that's the same pride that Satan fell into. It's up to God what we're supposed to do. We're His servants. It's the Lord who says, okay, son, it's time for you to step up. It's time for you to come up. When He says you sit down at a table, amen, and there are dignitaries there, there are people in high positions at that table, He says you sit down in the lowest seat and you wait until you're called up. Otherwise, if you go and you sit right up there at the top of the table, He said, they're going to tell you to go sit down and you're going to walk away ashamed because you blew it. The way up in the kingdom is through humility and submitting yourself and taking on the form of a servant just like Jesus did. And for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Amen. He overcame the world. Hallelujah. And He's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Let this mind also be in you. Know where your boundaries are. But folks, we cannot know completely the will of God until we start to practice and start to apply. Is this helpful? Yes. Fifthly, be diligent to ensure that you're standing in Christ. Because sometimes we get off on our own thing because it's something that we thought would be neat. I'd like to do that. I'd like to have maybe the praises of man. And that looks like a desirable position to make one wise and to make one accepted and to make one look famous and to have others look at you and say, wow, aren't you something? You know, the devil does that to God's children sometimes. Oh, yeah. He lies to them and he baits them with power or position. There are many who have been shipwrecked in their faith because they wanted power and a title or a position. Rather than taking on the form of a servant and allowing God at the right season to exalt you, because He will. If you serve, you'll be exalted. But when God exalts you, no man can take it away from you. If you exalt yourself, now you've got to live in the defensive. You've got to protect your territory. Live in fear, And even what you try to hold on to, you still end up losing. Why? Because you put yourself there. There's going to be a lot of wood, hay, and stubble. And selfish desires and things that we thought would be good to do, and God would certainly like me if I did that. It's not about what I think is best for me. He's much smarter than I am. It's what He says is best. He created us with a specific purpose. So we need to make sure that we're standing in the right position, and that is basically on our knees in humility before God and say, Lord, I come before You this day. I'm asking You to give me this day my daily bread and my assignment. I just want to be found faithful. Every day I want to be found faithful until the very end. And when we see Jesus, He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You are an ambassador for Christ. You are... a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him. Amen? Who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. What is my purpose? I'm a chosen generation. I am that chosen generation. I am a royal priest. I'm a holy nation. I'm a citizen of heaven now. I'm God's special people. I'm one of the called out ones of the church. I'm called out to walk with Him. Hallelujah. That I may proclaim His praises in the earth. How many understanding your will, the will of God for your life? How many know that these are some things that it's just a given, folks? You don't have to ask anymore. He's already told you. This is who you are. There are going to be specific things that God will make clear to you in your life as you prove in your daily walk, as you eat your daily bread, as you take up your daily assignment, as you take up your cross daily to follow Him. God's going to just completely make it clear to you. And one day you're going to be able to say, I know that I know that I know. That I am right now living in the will of God. We need to all be able to say that. Beware of your adversary who will always come to you and say, the grass is greener on the other side though. There are people who leave churches, who leave their assignment because the enemy came by and said, but the grass is greener on the other side. Take a look over here. It's greener over here. What are you doing there when you could have this? Folks, that's not always God. The enemy wants to get you out of your assignment so he can rob you of your inheritance. You don't leave your assignment until the Lord says you're released to go. You don't leave out of an emotional moment and I don't like what happened, I don't like what he said, I don't like this or that. You leave because God says it's time for you to pick up your tent, amen, and move on. And when you do, you leave with the right heart, leave with a blessing, and God will bless you. Otherwise, you're just taking your garbage somewhere else. I've done it myself. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith or not. In Acts 19 and 15, we saw the seven sons of Sceva, right? These are itinerant Jews who took upon themselves, they thought they were going to go and deal with these demons, right? And as a result, they didn't have the authority, the authorization by Christ and the power of the Spirit. They got beat up and they went out of there beat up and naked. Because they tried to confront something because they saw somebody else doing it. Sometimes we do the same thing. We see somebody else doing it. That may not be your assignment. You need to discover what your assignment is and do that. I just marvel at certain people. You know, Rick, for example, he's not here, but I just want to say, Rick will come in here, he'll put on praise music, he'll be singing to the Lord, worshiping the Lord in here as he's cleaning the church. He's not getting paid for it. We can't pay him for it, but it's in his heart. It's an assignment. It's a calling for him. He's got a gift of helps, and he just wants to be a blessing and help out. That is his spiritual act of worship, folks. When he stands before God, God's going to commend him because he did what he was called to do. Sometimes we think, unless you're in some big high-profile position where everybody's looking at you, you're not important. Sometimes it's the people that aren't in the spotlight at all. They're going to have the greatest reward in heaven because they were faithful in their assignment. What is the will of God for me? First thing we need to do is renew our minds, get into obedience, listen to the voice of the Lord, understand who you are and your new identity, remain faithful to God to the end, and then step out in faith. Faith must be tested. In order for you to know the will of God, you're going to have to test your faith. Even God talked to Malachi, didn't he, through the prophet Malachi about tithing. He said, now trust me in this. Test me in this. Put me to the test. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you cannot contain. He said, the people are robbing me of tithes and offerings. They're not talking about that tonight. But folks, whatever God tells you to do, you're going to have to put that to the test and say, God told me to do something that looks impossible for me to do or bigger than what I have the capacity to do. But if God tells you to do something, folks, He's going to come through for you. It gets quiet. I'm telling you, if God said it, He's going to come through for you. It's not an if, He is going to come through for you. God will never tell you and I to do anything without supplying the grace, the power to do it. He wouldn't tell us to preach this gospel without providing the power, the grace for you and I as individuals to be soul winners. Every one of us needs to be a soul winner. It may be your family, it may be your children. That's your first assignment. Would you agree, moms and dads? Is your children? They're your disciples. Grandchildren? Yes, you're there to mentor, raise them up in the Lord, the ways of the Lord. I'm going to finish with this. This is from the New Living Translation, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear Christian friends, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. That means a complete surrender. Give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Renewing of the mind. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. That's good. God bless you. So, ambassadors, citizens of heaven, saints of the Most High, it's time for us to arise and shine, for our light has already come. The light of Christ has come and shone into our hearts. And every day you can ask God for provision to shine His light into your heart and give you your daily bread, and then be faithful in that which He has shown you. And as you're faithful in little, He makes you ruler of much. The day comes. Many who died in faith that are listed in Hebrews 11 never saw the result of their faith in their lifetime, folks. But they saw beyond this present world to something that was far greater, and that was eternity. And they knew that I'm going to live for eternity. And the day will come when I will see my Lord. I will see my Master. And I want to see Jesus with a big smile on his face. He says, I know who you are. Come on in. Come on home.